Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word as Pastor Tom Gresham brings the message today.
This is not a hard message this morning, but it's a simple truth that will help you in your security as a believer. And I was just going through some different scriptures, and you know, something just jumps out at you. And this kind of jumped out at me. And he talked about beholding the Lamb of God. Here in John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says this: "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Now notice he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And when he makes this statement, I think we read it and don't think about it, "which taketh away the sin of the world." Notice what he said about there? Taketh away the sin of the world. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He takes your sin away. Amen. It's gone. Right. It's a little different. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. It's a familiar passage of Scripture for most of us. But again, a simple thought that I want to kind of expound on this morning. When the question in the title of the message is, have your sins been taken away? Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Now see, here's the thing. We talked about perfect, and perfect is not sinless. We understand that. But perfect is also complete. Now, we understand there's a completeness to us, but there's a spiritual aspect of perfection to where you are absolutely complete, and we are complete in Christ. And in Christ, there's no more to be done. And that's the thing. When it's perfect, there's nothing else to be done. When you look and say, you say, that's perfect. What are you saying? There's nothing more to be done. It's exactly what it needs to be. You know what your salvation is? It's perfect. There's nothing else to be done. You know what he said? He said, in that Old Testament, I've got my friend here today, or as Joseph called it, my pillow. Here's the thing about that Old Testament. In that Old Testament, they had to bring a lamb. There's other sacrifices, but they had that lamb. And what did they do with that lamb? That lamb was sacrificed, and its blood was shed in the place of the person who brought the lamb. Now see, what you have to understand is, for a sacrifice to be acceptable, it wasn't about the person bringing the sacrifice. I'm known to be a sinner. That's why I'm bringing the sacrifice. When I bring this sacrifice, I'm telling that high priest, I am a sinner. I need my sins taken care of. And so I'm bringing the sacrifice that God said. And God said that those sacrifices were to be examined and they were to be without blemish. There was to be no imperfection in that sacrifice. And when that lamb's blood was shed, that's what dealt with my sin. It still has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my sacrifice. But the thing about the sacrifice of dealing with the lamb, he says here, that sacrifice, it says, and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the carriers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. If the lambs that they brought were good enough, why'd they have to keep doing it? Because it didn't take away their sin. Okay? So look what he says here. It says, for it is not, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should what? Take away sin. It couldn't take them away. All it could do is make a temporary payment until there was something satisfactory to God to take away sin. So until that time came, they had to offer an innocent, unblemished animal sacrifice for their sin. Now look what it says here in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now look what he says here. This is interesting. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. You know what? It didn't satisfy God. God said, now these are temporary. But he didn't. There's no pleasure in it for God. Why? Because it doesn't take care of sin permanently. It doesn't take it away. It was only temporary. Now stick with me here. Watch this. It says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written to me, to do thy will, O God. Who is it that came to do his will as a sacrifice? Jesus Christ. All right? Now he says, verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now look at those next three words. Once for all. And we sing that song, once for all. Brother, believe it. Once for all. Brother, receive it. Amen. My salvation is not based on me. Now, some of you, you say you believe that, but you still think doing good stuff is going to merit you better favor with God with your salvation. Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to get my way to heaven. Jesus Christ, what did John say? Behold what? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came as the perfect Lamb. And as the perfect Lamb, he voluntarily sacrificed himself and shed his eternal blood in order that we could have our sins taken away permanently, once for all. You see, the Catholic Church will tell you that they have the body and blood of Christ, and they sacrifice him fresh and anew every Mass. Every Mass. And sometimes they do multiple Masses in a day. Working part-time at the funeral home. Listen, I've been to those services. I've watched them services. And they offer him, this is the body. And I'm sitting there going, no, it's not. No, it's not. This is the blood. No, it's not. See, you don't say that out loud. Well, no, I would be working there. But the truth is, but I know what's going on. I won't stay in the service when they do that. It's an abomination to God. I wait out in the foyer till our parts, and then I go from there. Why? It's an abomination. It's idolatry. That's right. They're sacrificing him anew. The Bible's very clear. Once for all. He don't need to be sacrificed every week. And the bottom line is, now you say, don't be judgmental. Listen, I grew up around Catholics. I was just a heathen. And I grew up around Catholic folks. And I got all kinds of stories I can tell you about stuff wrong. But I'm telling you, the bottom line is, a majority of Catholics just hope they make it. There's no peace. If that was actually truly the body and blood of Christ, why doesn't it give them any peace? Why doesn't it last 1 week or less? Hey, Chris, my salvation's eternal. Why? Because I believed in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took it away. Now, notice here what he said once for all. Now look here at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what? Never take away sins. Now listen, you got to realize, if you just took, how busy could we keep one high priest in the Old Testament with just our congregation bringing sacrifices for sins? So when it says he was offering multiple times, imagine a million people bringing sacrifice for sin. Them priests were making continual offerings all day long. But it still wasn't good enough. No matter how many sheep, no matter how many oxen they offered, it wasn't a permanent solution. But when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," something had changed there. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, how long? For how long? Forever. Forever. Phil asked me one time, he said, "Do you believe you can lose your salvation?" I said, "Why would I believe that?" What's John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what?" How long is everlasting? It's eternal. Well, if I got saved, he gave me everlasting life. What do I have? Everlasting life. I have eternal life. Why? Because my sins were taken away. They're taken away. All right? So now look what he says here. He said, "Did it forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." So here it is again. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Now the world, Brother Kevin, they look at us and they see this outside flesh. But this outside flesh isn't saved. This outside flesh is to be brought in subjection to the new man inside. But it's always going to have flaws because it's corrupted. No matter how hard you try, you will not be sinless on the outside. You're blemished. That's why this thing dies. That's why it falls apart. That's why you can't see as good. That's why you can't hear as good. And the older you get, the more stuff falls apart. Why? It's corrupted. It's fallen apart. But inside, there's a new man. And our responsibility is to encourage and feed him spiritually so that new man grows stronger and stronger and is able to tell the old man, "No, no, old man, we're not living that way no more. No, old man, we're not doing those things anymore." Why? Because we want to be pleasing to our Savior, which is the desire of the new man inside. Why? Because his sins have been taken away. Because his sins are taken away, he owes everything he is to the one who took his sins away. Some of you need to get the understanding that church is not about rules and regulations. Christianity is not rules and regulations. It's a relationship with the one that took my sins away, gave me everlasting life, and then when I die, is going to give me a brand new body that's going to live forever. It'll never sin again. And I get to spend eternity with him. That's the blessing because of the person of Christ. Too many times salvation is given as a vacation package. "Would you like to go to heaven?" "Yes, sir. We'll step right up here. If you just believe Jesus died on the cross, you believe you're a sinner." "Yes, you believe that." "You pray and ask Jesus. Jesus, you forgive me." Boom. "You're forgiven. And now here's your ticket to heaven." You're exactly right. That's perfect timing, dude. We work on this. No, I'm kidding. But you know what it is? Listen, that's why there's a lot of people that have been told they're going to heaven. They don't have any peace in their life. They don't have any change in their life. They don't have any assurance in their life. You say, why don't they have those things? Because there wasn't a change that happened inside of here. Listen, when You can't tell me that when your life is ruled by sin and then something changes where that sin is taken away inside, that there's not going to be some kind of difference? Listen, we know we're not perfect. We know, as we learn in Sunday school, listen, it's a process as we grow. Children understand things. We got a couple babies in here. They don't understand. I could sit there and talk economics all day long to them, and they'll just go, where's my bottle? I don't care. It's not until you grow up, you learn different things. These kids here, you know what? These guys got it made in the shade. You know what? You think about it, what care in the world do they have? You can say, well, the president, you know what? They don't even care. They don't know. A lot of times, ignorance is bliss. A lot of times, there's things that you didn't know would be more helpful. But you know what happens spiritually? Listen, the more you learn spiritually, the more you know spiritually, the more accountable you are spiritually. Some people don't want to go to church because they know what they're going to hear. They don't want to hear. They don't want to be accountable. But listen, he took away that sin. Why? Because he made a permanent sacrifice. Verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I write them. Now it's interesting, as he's talking about the nation of Israel. But Chris, you know what happened to us when we got saved? We got a jump start on that deal. We got on a deal that was meant for them, and we got in early because they rejected for a while. Amen? We have that benefit. He's talking about the same kind of salvation you and I have right now. And he says, verse 17, look at this, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He said, why don't you remember? They were taken away. They were taken away. Now look at this. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. There's no more offering necessary for sins that have been taken away. What could you offer? What can you offer to God greater than His Son? Nothing. The only offering that could ever take away sin has already been made. Since that's already done, what offering's left? There is no offering left. Now, you know what's interesting? We talked about those, that he said he had no pleasure in those sacrifices that were given. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. This is just a simple thought this morning, but listen, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, your sins are taken away. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, look in verse 10. Now this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Look what it says. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be what? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You notice what it said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him? He said, what does that mean? He's sadistic? It pleased him to bruise him? No, it had nothing to do with being a sadist. What it had to do with, God knew that by this happening to his son was going to finally make a way to take away sin. He wasn't going to have people offer lamb anymore. He was satisfied when Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross. It satisfied the wrath of God and the judgment of God on sin. And God said, because his son died to pay for sin, that is perfect, it's complete, it satisfies the judgment of God. Therefore, everyone who receives that, their sins are taken away because judgment has been completely and perfectly satisfied. When it says paid in full, God said that blood paid in full what was necessary. The blood of bulls and goats and sheep didn't satisfy the requirement. But the blood of Jesus Christ did. When John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When Jesus Christ was crucified, when he was beaten, when he shed his blood, all that was done, and when he gave up the ghost, God said, that'll do it right there. Now I'm pleased. Why? A permanent solution has been done. It's been taken care of once and for all. Never to have to be sacrificed again. Never have to be done again. And Jesus Christ was crucified according to Scriptures, buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the importance. It's not just that somebody died. It's not just that somebody rose from the dead. Because when you read your Bible, Jesus Christ raised other people. Other people in your Bible were raised. But the Son of God could lay it down and take it back up again on his own. After the Father was pleased with the sacrifice, and Jesus Christ entered the Holy of Holies in heaven and applied his blood to the throne of God. And that altar there was satisfied once for all. It's done. Somebody say, well, I think you got to keep the commandments. God said, what's keeping the commandments compared to my son? It's done. It's perfect. It's finished. What are you going to add to it? That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that this is gospel whereby you're saved unless you believe in vain. To believe in vain is to add something to what's necessary. And what God says is, hey, the Lamb of God was offered once for all, period. Jesus Christ was offered once for all. Nothing else can be done. No more sacrifice can be done. People say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Well, honey, it's the time of year. You want to turn over leaves, they'll do it, but it ain't going to get you nothing for salvation. Well, I got baptized. You got wet. Water doesn't wash away sin. So, I do good. Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all our righteousness is filthy rags. On your very best day, you look down, God goes, that's filthy. He said, well, that don't paint a good picture of us. You're right. That's why we needed the Lamb of God to take away sin. There's nothing you and I could do on our own. So I took it away. Sometimes people will say about the Lord, they'll say, well, you know, why would a loving God send people to hell? You've heard that before, haven't you? All right, turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, look in verse 11. See, the reason people make foolish statements is because they don't understand God and they don't understand the Word of God. Ezekiel 33:11 told Ezekiel, he said, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God. Now look at this, underline it, memorize it, whatever. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You see, the whole thing is he says, listen, I don't have any pleasure in them dying. I don't want him to die. Hey, if he wanted him to die, why would Jesus Christ come and be a sacrifice for sin? Why would he come and die for us? He could have just said, forget it and let them all rot. He doesn't take any pleasure in that. He wants you to turn. He wants you to live. You know, it's interesting. 1 John 3:5 says this, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Why was Jesus Christ brought forth? Take away our sin. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Have your sins been taken away? Listen, if you're listening here this morning and you say, and you may listen, maybe listening later on the radio, whatever. If you're listening and you're saying, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever told a lie? Well, if you ever told a lie, the Bible said, thou shalt not bear false witness. If you've told a lie, you've already broken a commandment of God. Now, what are you going to do about breaking that law? You've sinned against the holy and righteous God. Amen? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you, no matter how small in value? I remember when we was out at one of the festivals there, I can't remember if it was a pretzel festival, I think it was a popcorn festival. Brother Kevin was talking to some girls there and said something to one of them, said, have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? And she's like, no. He's like, you've never taken anything? She said, well, from my sister. It doesn't matter who you took it from. If it wasn't yours, you took it. You're guilty of being a thief. Amen? The Bible said, thou shalt not steal. That's two commandments you've already broken. If you ever told a lie, I said, thou shalt not bear false witness. You ever taken something that didn't belong to you? And any other question after you is already going to be a thing, because if you were on a witness stand, your credibility just got shot because you're a lying thief already. Who's going to believe anything else you got to say? Amen. You see, the problem is we compare ourselves among ourselves, so we think we're doing pretty good, but if you compare yourself to God's standard, nobody gets past it. Amen. Everybody's sinned before God. Amen? So what are you going to do about your sin? What do you have? What do you have to take away your sin? Nothing. Say, why? I'm going to just try to do better. Well, you just keep on trying, but it's not going to take away the penalty that you're already facing for your sin. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, you're all going to, listen, we're all going to die apart from the rapture. Amen. Now, if God blows the horn and we get out of here, he changes our body, then Christ rise first. We which lie and remain caught up together. The moment of twinkle of an eye, boom. That's the only way you escape physical death. And since we don't know when that is, you want to take a chance on dying before then? You don't. None of us have any promise of tomorrow. Listen, every day, we hear news reports of folks dying in all kinds of the craziest ways you ever heard. And unexpectedly. I guarantee you there's folks that tied their shoes this morning that the coroner is going to untie this afternoon and they had no idea it was coming. Guarantee. So are you ready? You ready to face eternity? Are you ready to face the creator of the universe that sent his son to die for you? And then you say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way I think is best. When he said, I provided my son as the Lamb of God to take away sin, I've provided the perfect sacrifice, and you can be forgiven. You can have eternal life and spend eternity with God, but then now you're going to do it your way? Is that how you really want to go? You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, when it gets real dark outside and you look up and see them stars up there, and you look up there and think, how did something so beautiful like that get set up in there? You say, well, I believe in evolution. Well, you're dumb. Because there's no evidence for evolution. There's no evidence for it. Man's got a lot of theory about it, but I've got a book that explains exactly how those stars got there. And everything crazy. And one guy told me, he said, well, you've got what the Bible says, but you don't have any proof. I said, do you ever go outside? Everything that God said that he did, is exactly now as it was the way he said he did it. If that picture were painted on the wall, Brother Frank came up to me and I said, hey, brother, that's a nice painting. And Brother Frank said, I painted that. Well, I don't know. I've never seen him paint, so I don't believe he could paint that. Well, I don't really believe he could paint that good. I mean, I couldn't do that. It's because you couldn't do it. Doesn't mean he couldn't do it. When the author or the artist puts it up there that painted it and says, I painted that, I'm going to believe the artist. Somebody else could say, well, I don't think it happened that way. I think I'm going to trust the artist. Because the evidence is there. How did you get here? Where did it all start? I've got a book that gives you the answer. A for sure answer, not a guess. That changes every few years depending on what, quote, advancement in science. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about all the advancement of science and they can't even figure out what to wear, not to wear, where to go, can't go, this do, that do. They don't even know if they're coming or going half the time. And I'm supposed to believe their science? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Why? Because God is the one that said, because of the sacrifice of the Son of God, the Lamb of God, your sins are what? Taken away. But they're only taken away if you receive the Lamb. If you receive, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You have to receive Christ. You have to recognize that you've sinned, that you deserve judgment for your sin, and you come to God, just like in the Old Testament, they came and brought the Lamb. And the lamb was there as the sacrifice, but the person was coming saying, I'm the sinner. It's the same thing. Picture this as Jesus Christ. I come to the Father and I say, here's the lamb. You say, well, did you confess all your sins? I'm confessing right now. I am a sinner. Let me tell you something. You couldn't do it right now to save your life if I put a pistol to your head to confess every sin you did this week. None of us could. How are you going to confess your sins to God and be clear? You can't even remember what you did all day yesterday. Amen. Thoughts that entered your head that weren't right, things that come out of your mouth, things in our heart. No, you confess, I've sinned. Here's Jesus. God, I've sinned. I'm that sinner. Please. Would you have mercy on me, a what? Sinner. I have no righteousness of my own. Here's Jesus Christ. My faith is in my sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You know what the Father says? That's perfect. That's perfect. Amen. He said, that's acceptable. Amen? That's perfect. That's acceptable. That pleases me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We understand forgiveness. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've heard people pray simple prayers like, oh God, I'm done, save me. You say, well, that didn't sound like Romans chapter 6 or Romans chapter 3 or Romans. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When your heart cries out to God, God knows whatever words come out of your mouth, what makes a difference is what come out of your heart that said, hey, I need some help here, God. I can't do this. I need forgiven. I'm putting my trust in you. What their heart cried out is what God heard, and God said, I'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Last passage, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, 24. I need all the help I can get, Bill. It's all right. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Look what the Bible says. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands. So he's speaking about the tabernacle that was here on this earth. He said, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Look at this. For us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Here we go again. Look at this. But now what? Once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was twice offered, three times offered, once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know, the bottom line is simply this, that God's Son sacrificed, Jesus Christ came to take away sin. You know, if this bell here on the table represented your sin, you know what the earthly lamb sacrifices, all they did was put a lamb between God and your sin. That's all they did. The sin was still there. You see, but when the Lamb of God came and laid down his life, then he took it away. You say, well, where's the sin? The Lamb of God took it away. Now when God looks down, what's he say? What sin you talking about? Don't remember it anymore? Or sin? You say, but preacher, when I look in the mirror, I see sin. You see an old tabernacle. But according to the Bible, your inside man's been cut away from this old flesh. That's why to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One of these days, we all draw our last breath. And you draw that last breath, and then your soul slips out into eternity. If you know Jesus Christ, your sins have been taken away. You're clean. You go to be with the Lord forever. There's no sin attached. It's gone. It's been taken away. And you've dropped this old carcass, you're free. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would still have sin to deal with. And once you die, there's no more time to deal with it. The Bible said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. What happened after that? Well, the Bible says, and death and hell deliver up the dead which are in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You see, what happens is we have the Word of God's a book. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you get adopted into the family of God, and He puts your name in the book of life. Why? Because now you have eternal life. There's no sin. So when he says the dead, small and great, stand before God, from presidents to paupers, stand before God, there's going to be an angel looking at the book of life. They're going to say, is his name in the book of life? Now here's the thing. God already knows it ain't there. But this is a courtroom. You stand before a judge. So what's the evidence? Evidence is not in the book of life, Lord. All right, and then the other books are open. What's that? The books of all your sin? all your works. And what happens? Then you get judged. Now here's the thing. You're condemned already according to John chapter 3. You know what the great white throne judge? The great white throne judgment is not plead your case day. It's sentencing day. Plead your case is now. Now is when you have the chance to say, I'm guilty, I need forgiven, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. Okay? Jesus Christ took your judgment. So now I can put you in the book of life. But as long as you reject Jesus Christ, you walk through this life under condemnation. If you die before the great white throne judgment, you go to a place called hell. Hell's the county jail of eternity. And you stay in hell until the great white throne judgment. Death and hell cough up the dead which are in them. And then you know what happens? You stand before an almighty God. And then they read off the charges. And after every one of the charges, guilty, guilty. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're an adulterer. You're a fornicator. You're covetous. Go down through the works of the flesh. Guilty, 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 guilty. Prosecution rests the case. Judge. Lake of fire. Bind him hand and foot. Cast him in outer darkness. Weeping, wailing, and gnashing teeth for all of eternity. Why? Because they already rejected the payment that was made. The payment that was already made. So the question is, have your sins been taken away? It's nothing you can do. It's simply coming to the place in your life where you realize, I am a sinner that sinned against a holy and a righteous God. And the day I draw my last breath, I'm going to stand before God. I can either go to God as a child of God, or I can go to the great white throne judgment as condemned under sin. So what is it for you? Your sins have been taken away? See, this goes past where I was raised. This goes past I've been in church all my life. This goes past I've been homeschooled. This goes past I was in a Christian school. This goes past all this because this deals with you knowing in your heart. When was a point in time when you called out to God and said, I am that sinner and I want Jesus Christ as my Lamb? When was that for you? You see, I don't remember the date. You won't remember the date, but you'll remember the event. You'll remember that time when you got that forgiveness, because when you get forgiveness, there's a peace that comes into your heart that nothing can ever describe on this planet. I didn't say you'd live a perfect life. You say, well, I did that, but I've made some mistakes. Welcome to the club. Living a Christian life is full of making some mistakes and having some bumps in the road. There's no doubt about that. But listen, my salvation isn't because I receive the Lamb and then do good. Because my doing good added to the Lamb ain't going to work. The Lamb is why I'm going. God deals with me them a child. Just like you have a physical child, they're born to you. They're your child by birth. They have a decision then to be an obedient child or a disobedient child. Now, what parent doesn't want an obedient child? Of course you do. What does God want from us once we become His children? He wants us to be obedient children. And sometimes we're not obedient. That's why the Bible talks about whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth, every son whom He receiveth. There's a process where God deals with disobedience. But being a disobedient child of God has nothing to do with whether I received Christ as my Savior. You either received Him or you didn't. There's no middle ground. It's like people say, are you married? You either are or you're not. Amen? I got married. You say, oh, I see you got a ring, so that means you're married. This tells you that I'm married, but this doesn't make me married. A lot of people put rings on their fingers. A lot of people take rings off their fingers. There's people hang out at bars, take rings off their fingers. They want people to believe it. It doesn't change the fact they're married. Wearing the ring is a testimony of marriage. But marriage is a covenant that a man and a woman make together. You make that covenant, that's where you're married. This just tells everybody else, I made a covenant with a woman. Right here. I made a covenant with a woman, and I wear this to show you that I've made a covenant with a woman. So other ladies, sorry, you're just out of luck. But the truth of the matter is, is that's what it is. It's like baptism's a testimony. The ring's a testimony. The covenant is when my wife and I stood before a man of God and we made vows to one another for all of eternity, as far as God allows us to live. Amen. When you get saved, you get born again. It's a covenant between you and God. God says, I made the sacrifice. You accept the sacrifice. I accept you. And now I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. I can be an obedient son or a disobedient son. But the question is, have your sins been taken away?
Yes, Jesus loves me, Lord. Sweetly distills in the dew.
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. Until next time, thank you and good day.